Hello, friends. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio, broadcasting live from UBC's Point Grey campus, situated on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam people. At CITR, we endeavor to create and uplift local and alternative arts and culture, and we are forever grateful for the privilege to do so on this land. This is Amateur Hour. Thank you for joining us. On Amateur Hour, we sit down with local amateur and student musicians to talk about the music they make and the music they love. My name is Ewan, and in the studio with me today is nobody for, I believe, the first time ever. That's right. This week, I am guestless, as Chris just mentioned on his show, the Parts Unknown show, which airs just before this one every week. So we're doing something a little bit different this week. Instead of interviewing a local musician, I am going to put on a little bit of a tribute show that I've prepared here for a band that, if you've been listening to this show or if you know me at all, you will know I love. I think I've played one of their songs almost, if not every episode, or at least a song by a member of the band every episode. And that band is, of course, Plumtree. Plumtree, for those of you who don't know, was a group in the early 90s through to the early 2000s, made up of entirely, well, at its inception anyhow, teenage girls who later became girls in their early 20s. And it was just this strange, wonderful little group. And due to, you know, the youth and the inexperience, kind of captured this wonderful, unique, youthful energy that really kind of defines their sound. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of take you listeners through a loose history and retrospective on Plumtree, my own personal history with the band. I suppose it's probably where a good place to start. A couple years ago, in 2023, I was in my second year at UBC, and I was taking a course on introductory writing for creative nonfiction. So a lot of, you know, just memoirs and personal essays, things like that. And our final project for this class was to write a profile on someone. So we were to reach out to whoever we chose, didn't matter who, and interview them and write a piece about them with, you know, focus and everything. And I reached out to a few different people. One of the people I interviewed initially was an old acting coach. But kind of on a whim as well, I had sent an email to Carla Gillis, the lead singer of Plumtree, not really expecting a response, but lo and behold, after I'd finished my first interview, I checked my phone and find an interview back from her. She had done her MFA here at UBC in creative writing and lyric writing, and was like, yeah, I'd love to do that. So I so nervously and entirely starstruck hopped on Zoom and had a wonderful interview with her. Her side was wonderful anyhow, as you're going to hear here, because I've actually brought in a number of clips from that interview. I was not a particularly confident interviewer. If you think I go, now, just get ready for the amount of ums in these interview clips coming up. Anyhow, we are going to start with this this little tribute show. So first up, we have a song off of Plumtree's first album, Mass Teen Fainting. So coming up, you're going to listen to the song Tropical, and then we'll be right back with more information. Friends, enjoy.
Yeah.
And we are back, friends. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. This is Amateur Hour. Thank you for joining us. This week on Amateur Hour, I am alone at the desk. No guest this week. Instead, we are dedicating the show to exploring the Halifax band Plumtree. You were just listening to the song Tropical, which, oh my god, incredible summer vibes, can we just say? I love this song so much, actually, that if you hear my promo for the show on the air, this is actually the song that's playing in the background. Underneath all the other clips from the show that I used. So, what can I say about this album? Mass Teen Fainting came out in, I believe, oh god, I'm going to get this wrong immediately off the bat, 1994, I want to say. Because I think their next album came out in 1997, I'm pretty sure about that. So I think there's 3 years between each album. Yeah, so 1994, Mass Teen Fainting, named incredibly, the idea of, you know, playing a show and causing all the teenage fans to faint in awe and excitement. Plumtree is, I don't know if romantic is the right word, but I always think of it as a romantic tale, or a tale of, you know, passion and tenacity. They were a group of teenage high school girls at their inception, who all just loved music and wanted to make music, and they kind of just got out there and did it, you know, in a time where, you know, this might not have been as normal thing for everybody to be doing, as we're going to hear in the interview with Carla in a minute, that this was not really a thing that a lot of, especially teen girls, were doing where she grew up and in general. So it was just this kind of crazy thing of, you know, fitting in music to an incredibly busy life, because they were all students. None of them were ever thinking of dropping out. You know, this wasn't really an option. So they're just balancing, doing this crazy balancing act of school and music and preparing for their future, especially as the older members of the band near the end of high school and kind of had to decide whether they're going to university, whether they're going to try and do music full time. And you get this thing on Mass Teen Fainting that you get from some of the earlier demos as well. We don't have any of the earlier music on here. This is kind of the first full-fledged album. But it's this, it feels like lightning in a bottle, like a time capsule of these four girls. It's this very young, I always go back to the word youthful energy, which feels repetitive and broken record at this point, but it's what it is, right? You get this feeling of, you know, kind of teenage angst, but also of excitement and carefreeness, especially in the song we're going to listen to in a little bit later here, In the Sink. You get this sense of, it's almost like a bounce and a humor to their music in Mass Teen Fainting that I really adore. And again, perfect summertime energy. Not quite as much as the next album that we're going to dive into, Predicts the Future, but very good for the season. Tropical is an all-time banger. So in a minute here, we're just going to move on from my little ramble here and into the recording from an interview back in 2023. This was my first ever foray into any kind of music journalism before I started interviewing people for the show, before I even had an inkling of radio in my mind. So you're going to hear some rather inexperienced question asking and hemming and hawing, trying to figure out what to say next. And oh my god, I'm so glad that radio is an audio medium, because boy, if you could see the Zoom recording that I had to look at finding these clips, woof, did I look nervous. So thank god you're just going to be hearing mostly Carla's voice here. So we're going to hop into this first clip here. I believe, I know some of them, the questions at the beginning cut off, but I think this one you can catch the question. So I'm just going to let this play. Enjoy the interview, folks. Yourself really interested in music? Like, when was it a thing that you knew you wanted to do?
I would say I was probably 12, 13. My sister, who was the drummer in Plumtree, she's 2 years younger, and we both kind of fell in love with music at the same time. So she would have been more like 10, 11, so very young. I would say for me, it was Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction album. It really just like felt like it woke me up in some new way. It made me feel things I had never felt before, made me like feel very alive. And kind of just, I had been a very shy, very quiet kid, like always kind of hiding in the back of the classroom, very anxious. I worried about everything. And then this record kind of like made me feel very energized and confident and like a little bit more empowered. And I'm like, I never want to lose this feeling. And it was, so I listened to it all the time, shared it with Lynette. She loved it too. We started putting all the posters on our walls, getting all the band shirts. We discovered on Much Music, there was a metal show called The Power Hour. This would have been like the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, and it just felt very natural to us that we would want to play, like we would want to do this, which I've heard since lots of girls didn't feel that way, and that it was a bit unusual in some ways to want to start bands. I don't think that's the case at all these days, but maybe back then it was less, it didn't occur to people as much. But Lynette and I were like, oh yeah, we have to play music. So I started taking guitar lessons. I got a guitar when I was 13 for Christmas. Very supportive parents. Lynette got a set of drums from Sears and she was 11. And then we just started playing in bands and never stopped.
That's amazing. So kind of on that topic then, so you said that you grew up with a lot of metal music, and that's kind of what inspired you the most. So how then did Plumtree form? How did that come to be? The sound is not as similar to Guns N' Roses,
Absolutely.
but yeah, so how did Plumtree form? When did it form, and why did that come to be?
Yeah, sure. So Lynette and I originally we started out playing in metal bands with our friends, and then a couple of years into playing, we met Amanda and Nina, who were the other two members of Plumtree. That was in 1993. I believe it was April. Lynette used to keep a like journal, and she had every date listed. She could tell you the exact date that of our first practice,
Incredible.
but it was April 1993. And they were coming from a very different musical background. They were very new to their instruments. It was their first band, and they loved indie rock, I would say, but also like just they liked a lot more pop sounding music. You know, they loved the Beatles and the Lemonheads. Amanda was really into Beastie Boys. Lots of like kind of pretty small indie stuff. They had a radio show on the local college station, so they were into all this music that Lynette and I had no knowledge of. We were like, what is this? And Plumtree was the melding of both of those halves, essentially. So, you know, I think there was a certain there like Plumtree, most of the early songs, especially, I would have like little solos and things. That was like me and my metal background feeling like every song has to have a solo, a guitar solo. You know, but even when Lynette and I were in metal bands, like our voices did not sound like the way heavy metal singers sing. So at some point we were like, we wanted to be a metal band, but we just, that wasn't what was coming out of us. And the songs we were writing, I have a very strong pop sensibility. When I write, my ideas are very melodic. And I can't help it. And I would like try to write less poppy stuff, and it just didn't work. And then Amanda was writing really poppy songs, so we ended up with a much more indie pop sound as Plumtree. Yeah, so I think some people can catch little nods to heavy metal, but they're very subtle.
Yeah, wow. So just the inspiration there for Plumtree, you do really get that when you listen close, these kind of the combination of these different influences. I think it's one of those questions I always ask pretty much every week to all of my guests is, you know, what pushed you to start making music, not just listening to music, and what albums were significant in forming you as a musician with your taste and with what you like to write. And when I interviewed Carla back in 2023 and she gave me the answer of Guns N' Roses, I was like, oh, wow, I have no idea what to do with this. So I wanted to probe on that a little bit deeper, and, you know, there we go. And since we've started this show, and, you know, I've heard many people, many of the guests talk about metal influence, despite not really writing metal music, you get a lot of that, you know, you get a lot of this full body delivery. And I think that changes based on who it is performing, like what a metal influence would mean, what it means to make music a full body experience. For example, you know, the music of Plumtree sounds quite a bit different from our first guest on the show, Alex Karanzai, who also talked a lot about having this metal influence despite writing a little bit more kind of rock and roll, Foo Fighters-y type music. That's very different from the pop sound of Plumtree, but both of them have this kind of energy, this driving force behind them that makes sense when you consider their metal influences, and combining that with the more poppy music that the other two members of the band were listening to, the Beatles, Lemonheads, all those, you really feel that, especially in Mass Teen Fainting, you get this kind of crossroads. And if you listen to any of the drum lines in Plumtree, Lynette is always just going absolutely crazy. It's wonderful. Speaking of which, we are going to move into the song I mentioned earlier, In the Sink, here in just a moment to finish up our first little segment here on Mass Teen Fainting. So I hope you all enjoy. After that, there's going to be an ad and a PSA for you, and then we're going to hop back in on the next album, Predicts the Future. So, friends, please enjoy In the Sink. We'll be right back.
Hey Vancouver, looking for your summer plans? MRG Live has you covered. Catch Caroline Kingsbury. And Maris. Emotional Oranges, and many more live on stage. Don't miss out. Grab your tickets now at www.admit1.com and follow at MRG Live Official on Instagram for fresh announcements and the full lineup of upcoming shows.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
I'd like to for 1,000 years, 1,000 years, I'd like to for
are back. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. This is Amateur Hour. I'm Ewan. Thank you for joining us today. Today on Amateur Hour, we do not have a guest. We are doing a tribute show to the band Plumtree, from which you just heard the song Scott Pilgrim. We are going to get into a little bit more of the connection to the graphic novel series and movie, etc., a little bit later in the show here. For now, I want to just segue us over to the next interview clip from the 2023 interview with Carla Gillis. And I want to talk a little bit about Predicts the Future, which is the album that we're looking at now. This was their second album. This one dropped in 1997, if I'm not mistaken. At this point, I believe Lynette would have definitely been, the youngest member would have definitely been in high school still, and the oldest member would have been graduating and starting to go into university. So you kind of get this, you know, end of high school vibe. It still has a little bit of that teenage angst to it from Mass Teen Fainting, but it's a little bit more party vibe, a little more summery and exciting. And this whole album is just straight party songs. It's wonderful all the way through. You also get a little bit more of this uniquely Canadian rock sensibility here, the kind of thing that you hear in a band like Sloan, I find. And I'm still working through in my head on how to define what that quality is, because the guests that we're going to have on in a couple weeks here, I personally feel very much possess the same quality of what I'd call Canadian rock, which I think is most, the Canadian rock I'm talking about, I think is most exemplified in the Halifax music scene of the 90s and 2000s. So yeah, that's kind of my two cents on Predicts the Future here. We are going to move into another clip from the 2023 interview with Carla Gillis, where she talks about her experience touring as a young person across Canada between semesters of school, etc. So yeah, please enjoy this little interview clip.
Yeah, we would go every summer. So as soon as school ended, we would kind of go all summer long. I think it definitely instilled us with a deep work ethic. It was a lot of work to go on tour. It was fun. Halifax is a pretty small place. So none of us had done a lot of traveling before then. So it really kind of opened our eyes to just new places, new people. We pretty much just toured Canada, so it wasn't like it was a hugely different cultural experience visiting these new cities and towns. But often we never had any money to stay in hotels or anything. So we were just like crashing at people's apartments. And so you just kind of like get to see other people's lives. And that was pretty interesting. You know, I think it gave us new ideas about how adulthood could look. We all grew up in the suburbs, and this whole idea of like, you gotta, you know, graduate and go to university and get married and have children and blah, 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 blah. I was always a bit suspicious of that idea. And then when we started touring, you just meet people just living all kinds of different lives. People who are artists, we stayed with lots of artists, and it was very inspiring to see that it could be possible to, make careers doing music or art in general, or at least keeping art as a large part of your life. That definitely had an impact on all of us. Just opening our eyes to, you know, we had to learn how to budget or like how to manage money. We didn't have any, for one thing, so we had to learn to like really stretch a dollar. We used to give ourselves $5 a day per diems, and that doesn't get you very far. We'd go to grocery stores and buy cans of beans and some fruit and some rolls or something, and then we would get to the club and set up a little camping stove in the parking lot and like heat up some beans. Like, it was very we were broke, so all of that, you know. But when you're that age, it's an adventure, and it wasn't depressing to us at all. We were excited about it. We didn't mind those discomforts. Like, we only had a pretty small minivan, and we would have all of our gear and all of us, four of us, and then usually someone who would help with driving and selling merch would come with us, so there'd be five of us in the van. And you're just driving for, like, you know, Canada's huge. You're driving for 8 to 12 hours a day after you've played a show the night before. So very little sleep. I think we all discovered that we're hard workers. And I don't know, it takes a certain kind of mental fortitude to play night after night. And often we were playing to barely anybody. We weren't a popular band. We were a very small indie band. Like, a lot more people know of us now because of the Scott Pilgrim. I have to assume Scott Pilgrim is maybe how you discovered us. Yeah, we hear from, like, you know, kids all over the world, or like, a lot people who are a lot younger than us discovering us through the movie and books. And but back then we were playing to half empty rooms. and kind of following some dream, some desire to, like, express ourselves. And it was something we believed in and something we cared a lot about, and it was a lot of hard work.
I can imagine. Yeah. Wow. I always love going back to this interview when I can. I have the files saved on my computer. Just some of these stories of being on the road at such a young age. I never can get the picture out of my head of them in the parking lot outside the club, heating up their food on a camping stove of the club they're playing that night. And like you said, yeah, when you are this age, a lot of these things are an adventure, you know, the discomforts, you don't mind them. And I think that's something exciting about, especially with artistic endeavors. I think there is something to the expression and the passion that comes with something like music that makes the rest of it kind of fade away. And I think when you have more of those discomforts, even just from a narrative standpoint, it accentuates how special it is, this thing, this music, this passion, because the more discomforts that you're ignoring and don't mind, the stronger that passion's got to be, right? I don't know. Well, we're going to move into another song off of Predicts the Future here, called Why Won't You Stop? And we're going to have a couple more. We're going to have another ad and then a show promo on here. And we're going to come back to talk about This Day Won't Last at All, the final Plumtree album. At which point we'll talk a little bit more about the Scott Pilgrim connection and Brian Lee O'Malley, because that is clearly a very important part of this band's history that I have yet to touch on, just because I'm so in love with the music itself. So on that note, here is Why Won't You Stop by Plumtree off of Predicts the Future. All right, enjoy.
Cry. word before I go to sleep. I feel like I'm gonna dream tonight. Big bad ones, you know? The kind you like.
There is a lot of music out there, but only some is strange enough for you. My name is B, and on SlimeWire, I do the work for you, picking out freaky tunes to rule your nighttime world. So check it out, every Wednesday at 10 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Attention, attention. All artists, zine makers, writers, musicians, community organizers, activists, anarchists, proles, punks, and weirdos. Now is the time to make your voice heard at the 3rd annual Anarchist Book Fair. We want you in all of your resistance to colonialism. We want to platform your rage against the current political climate and join hands with you in saying enough. We're looking for folks who engage in community building, mutual aid, active resistance, skill building, and knowledge sharing to table booths and propose workshops on October 9th and 10th of 2025. This is an anarchist space, which means it opposes hierarchies and seeks to amplify unheard voices and build communities of mutual aid and support. First come, first serve. 50% of tables reserved for marginalized voices. You can email sponsorship@citr.ca to state your interest and be part of Anarchist Book Fair. sponsorship@citr.ca.
I'm
We are back. That was Regret by Plumtree. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. This is Amateur Hour. This week we are diving deep into the band Plumtree, and we are now onto their third and final album, This Day Won't Last at All. This album is one that I particularly love. It's slightly different from the other ones. I think Regret, the song we just listened to, could definitely fit on Predicts the Future as well. But as we're going to hear with the song later, I Could Draw a Line, there's a lot more room for softness on this album. There's kind of a maturity to it, you know, as mature as any college musician can be. But there's very much a kind of energy of, it's the same people, you know, same band, but they've grown up a little bit. They've learned a little bit more. Their music's a little bit more refined. There's a little more, you know, layers to the music going on that gives it a little bit more complexity. And I just, I don't know, I love it. It's a great combination of all the things that makes Plumtree great. They put together this album kind of knowing it was going to be their last one because they were all moving on from their first degrees and all decided ultimately, you know, they wanted to pursue full-on careers, whether it be in the arts or I know a couple of them later on became therapists. I can't remember. One of them definitely went into academia as well. So all these different careers later ahead of them, they decided this would be their last album, and they did a whole kind of tour with it. But according to a piece I remember reading before I even did my interview with Carly Gillis, was that they hadn't really announced this was going to be their last album or their last tour. So they kind of did this, and they were done. And it was this the end of this beautiful little 7 years of a band that just produced such wonderful, fun music that has worked its way to our current generation through, of course, Scott Pilgrim. For those who don't know, Scott Pilgrim is a series of graphic novels that was then adapted into the 2010 film Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. It's all about this guy, he falls in love with this girl, and has to defeat her seven evil exes through virtuous combat, I guess is a way to go about it. It's very fun. It's a very 2000s kind of series. Very Canadian in a lot of ways. We have national pride over Scott Pilgrim here. But on that note, I am going to throw on one more clip from the Carly Gillis interview in 2023 talking about that connection to Brian Lee O'Malley and to Scott Pilgrim. So we're going to throw that on, and then we're going to move towards the end of our show here. All right, here we are. This is one more clip from the Carly Gillis interview. A couple questions back. O'Malley, Scott Pilgrim. What can you say on that? Like, how did that process kind of come to be? How did inadvertently providing the namesake for this comic series that became a movie and is now a Netflix series, how does that affect how you view that work, how you view Plumtree's work? What relationship do you have with Ryan, if any?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to come to our shows in the 90s, Plumtree shows. In London, Ontario, and we were always playing at this pretty grungy bar called the Embassy. And sometimes, once he brought his sister, and she was underage, and we helped sneak her in by giving her some guitars to carry in, so she pretended she was in the band. We knew him fairly casually back then. And then at some point when I was living in Vancouver, would have been maybe the mid-2000s, Katrina, the Plumtree bassist, she had stayed in touch with Brian, probably most out of all of us. And he mentioned to her that he was writing some graphic novels. Maybe he just had the first one made. And he was going to name the main character Scott Pilgrim after our song. He had really liked that song and I guess just heard it and kind of thought of, I don't really know. I don't know. He'd be the one to answer what came first, but like, did the song inspire the characters or did he have characters in mind and needed a name and he had happened to be listening to the song one day? I'm not really sure. But yeah, he let us know that he had made a book and did we want to read it? A graphic novel. And so he sent a copy to all of us. And we were like, oh, this is really cool. And there were lots of little Halifax music scene references throughout the books. You know, Scott's wearing a Plumtree shirt at one point, plays a Rickenbacker that looked a lot like Amanda's guitar, and I think there's maybe references to some other Halifax bands. So we just thought that was really cool. And then he ended up making a bunch more books after that, and he would usually send them to us. And then in probably 2009, maybe earlier than that, there was, I don't really remember this specifically. He must have mentioned to us, there's a possibility that these graphic novels are going to be made into a movie. We're like, what? That's nuts. That's crazy. And it took a while for that. It was just kind of like a rumor for a while, and we weren't really sure. We didn't think much of it. We didn't imagine that was actually going to happen. And then it did. And the movie came out in 2010, and we had a couple songs in it and on the soundtrack, and Scott Pilgrim, played by Michael Cera, wears a Plumtree shirt, and very, very exciting. Brian invited us to the Toronto premiere, so the whole band, Lynette and I were living in Toronto at that point. Amanda and Katrina flew in. We all hung out at the premiere and the after party. It was really fun. Got to meet Michael Cera and Edgar Wright. And then it's taken on, as you know, like these are, it's become very popular, the Scott Pilgrim universe. And it's introduced tons of new fans to Plumtree. You know, I have an action figure here somewhere, which is like pretty mind blowing. It says Plumtree. It's the one of Scott with Plumtree on his shirt, in Mastine Fainting, the name of our first record, on the back of his shirt.
Thank you.
That was I Could Draw a Line by Plumtree. You were listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. We are coming up on the end of Amateur Hour here, our special episode on Halifax band Plumtree. I just want to mention this show has been really fun for me. Plumtree holds a very special place in my heart. Those interview clips you've been hearing, we've got one more, a little short one coming up. Those are from the first interview I ever did with a musician and with one of my favorite musicians at the time and still one of my favorite musicians to this day. So it really sparked in me this excitement for music, for musicians, for music journalism, which has become more and more something that I really value in my life. This show has been so incredible to do, and I think I owe the whole idea for me doing it, the whole passion and excitement to doing that interview, as scuffed as my end of the interview was, as many stutters as there were, just being able to speak with someone who was so passionate and had so much to say and kind of draw this information out from them and have these discussions that I would later go on to have on this show was really something special. And I really thank Carla Gillis for joining me that day and for all the members of Plumtree for making that music. Before we wrap up here, Carla Gillis and her sister Lynette are in another band at the moment named Overnight. I've played a couple of their songs on the air before. They have a new album coming out this fall, I've received word, called Put Me in Your Light. I don't know exactly when it's coming out, but their first album, Carry Me Home, which we'll hear a song from here at the end of the show, is phenomenal. It is very different. It was a lot more of a dark, heavy, melancholic sound, which will be an interesting note to end the show on, but it's phenomenal. It's really great stuff. It is some of the finest music that these sisters have produced, in my opinion. Before we end up here, I have one more clip from Carla Gillis that I want to share that was the end of our interview, and it was a very inspirational thing. I was so shocked by her ability to just summon up such an inspirational quote right there at the end, and ended up basing my whole essay that I wrote about it around this quote here. So we are going to listen to this last interview clip. I'll come back one last time and we'll finish off the show with a song by Overnight. So here again is Carla Gillis from 2023. Talking with you.
Yeah.
I think more or less wrapped up here, just kind of one last bookending question. Of all the stuff that you've made in the past and that you're working on now, both creatively as well as with your clinical work, what do you feel you're the most proudest of?
Maybe I'll say something like Flutterboard, which was like the first cassette, one of the first releases Plumtree ever had. And I say that maybe less from a musical point of view, but I'd say I'm really proud of us having the courage to do that, because we were really young and we didn't know what we were doing, and it was something that we wanted to do, make music and get it out there, but somehow we were able to, that thing about getting out of the basement, we took that risk of letting people hear what we were doing, even though we didn't feel ready, and even though we didn't feel like it was the most amazing piece of music ever, we just had the courage to put it out there. And I'm really proud of that, of taking that risk.
And that's something that I find is so integral to this show. I think a lot of the people we talk with here are people who, you know, are willing to take that risk. You know, that's the whole point of Amateur Hour, right? It's not a denigrating thing. It's this very exciting thing of being an amateur, of being someone who doesn't have all this experience, all these many years of touring and labels and all these various things that accompany the professional music industry, just people who love to make and have great things to make, have passion, have things to say, things to sing, things to provide to the world. And even if they're not confident they're good, even if they're not good at all, just putting it out there and showing the world what you've been working on, getting out of the basement, as Carla says. And I just think that that's such an amazing note to end on. And that's something that I hope can continue to pervade the spirit of this show, because that's really what the point of this is to begin with. We are, I think, gosh, it's either 8 or 9 episodes deep into Amateur Hour now. And I've had a blast. We have one more episode for our summer season, and then we'll be back in the fall with a whole new slate of guests that I have to start seeking out. But this was a really fun show to do, just taking a step back, kind of reflecting on what we've done these past few months, and doing so by paying a close eye to a recurrent song or recurrent artist on this show that will continue to recur, because God, I love this music. So we are going to finish off here with a song from Carla and Lynette's current band, Overnight. This is from the album Carry Me Home. We're going to listen, perhaps inadvisedly, to all 6 minutes of Unsinkable. Thank you all for joining me here on Amateur Hour. My name is Ewan. This has been Amateur Hour on 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. And here is Unsinkable by Overnight. Please enjoy.